Hi, this is Randall Schwartz, host of Floss Weekly. This week, Guillermo Amaral joins me. We're going to talk about a follow-on to the Jitsi stuff we did a few years ago called Jitsi Meet. It's like Google Hangouts, but for free. You're not going to want to miss this, so stay tuned.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Floss Weekly is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Floss Weekly with Randall Schwartz and Guillermo Amaral. Episode 293, recorded May 7th, 2014. Jitsi Meet. It's time for Floss Weekly, the show about free, Libre, open source software. I am your host, Randall Schwartz, Merlin at StoneEngine.com, bringing you each week, or as often as I can get it, the movers, the shakers, the big projects, the little projects, the projects you may be using every day and not aware of it, the projects you might not know anything about, but will find out soon. Joining me this week is our, I was going to say a lovely co-host. We should make that joke every once in a while, but Guillermo Amaral, welcome back to the show.
Hey, man. And I am lovely. I have seen myself.
I think Aaron did that once, or Aaron made me say that. Now it sort of comes up automatically in my brain. As you can see, I'm back in ZipRecruiter again. Same place. It's been paying my bills for a few months. And where are we speaking to you from? Where are you speaking to us from? There we go.
That's right. Tijuana, Mexico. And this is my usual digs, my lab, if you will.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, it's good to have you back on the show. We have a really interesting show today. It's actually a repeat guest. We've had, I hope I get this right. I should get it right if we've been on before. Emil Ivov is coming on to talk about some improvements and some things that have been going on in the Jitsi world. We had Jitsi on back in April of 2011. It's a sort of universal communicator, originally called SIP Communicator, that would allow you to use various protocols to talk to things like GTalk and AIM and like that, but also set up video calls and video conferencing. And at the time, I just listened to the show this morning, and we were at the end of it saying, boy, that would be so much better to use than Skype. And in the 3 years since then, there's still problems with it in terms of replacing it with Skype, but it was some of the unusual hardware we have. I have to admit that's part of it. But Jitsi has moved on. There's actually some more things going on. There's a new product called Jitsi Video Bridge, which allows you to have Google Hangout-style conferences, all using open-source software all the way from top to bottom. And they also have a service set up called Jitsi Meet, which is that thing sort of wrapped up in a package, so you can have it be people will go in their appropriately enabled browsers and go off and have a Google Hangout conference call. Have you played with this at all, Guillermo?
Yeah, I actually tried it yesterday. It looks really, really well. And I like the video quality from it, although it kept crashing my machine, but I'm using an unstable version of Chrome, so maybe that's it.
Yeah. It's you guys on your bleeding edge, making things work go crazy like that. That's true. Well, rather than us keep speculating about what it is, let's go ahead and bring on our guest. Emil, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Randall. Very good to be here again, really. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, 3 years, man. That's like an internet decade, I think. Well, that doesn't make any sense.
More like an internet century, right? It's been a long while.
So where are you speaking to us from?
I'm currently in Strasbourg.
Strasbourg, yes. Same place as last time, probably, right?
No, actually, last time was Sofia, Bulgaria. So.
Right. Okay. See, I should have listened to the entire show, not skip forward right in the interview.
What you mean? You don't remember all your guests? Oh.
Yeah. It's funny because people ask me on the show already. They send in a suggestion for a project, and I go, have we done that yet? I have to actually go to the Floss Weekly page in Wikipedia. Thank God somebody is maintaining that constantly. And then say, what's that? Who's actually been on the show? Or I Google Floss Weekly and then the project name. And hopefully I'll find out then whether we've done it or not. Occasionally it's because I wasn't the host on the show. So that sometimes means I would actually have a legitimate reason for not remembering they were on. Well, we could talk about this all day. We could talk about this week in geography. But you're back to talk about things that have happened in the Jitsi world since the last time you were on here. First, let's start with, for people who didn't hear the previous show, that's show number 162, if you want to pause this right now and go out and watch that. For people that weren't on the other show, what is Jitsi itself, the initial thing that we talked about 3 years ago? And what's changed since then?
Right. I think you presented it very well. It's an internet communicator that does audio and video. One of the most important features in Jitsi, however, is the fact that it's entirely standards compliant. and it's also very secure. We do things like ZRDP that allow you to encrypt your communication in a way, well, people refer to that as end-to-end, meaning that you can be certain that no one in the middle is listening to you. It supports a number of protocols like SIP, XMPP, which allows you to do chat over GTalk as well, connect to Facebook. It also supports a number of enterprise features, querying an LDAP server, provisioning, even connecting to proprietary applications like Microsoft Outlook and using your address book from there. So it's a really very advanced, very feature-rich communicator. But it's just a client. That's, I think, an important distinction to make in view of what we have coming right now. So it's a client. Like Thunderbird is a client for email and has to use an email service. Jitsi is a client for real-time communication. And it has to use some sort of a real-time communication service. Now, with time, it has actually appeared that this is relatively challenging to users. They come and download Jitsi and they say, okay, so where do I connect, create a user account, a name and a password? And then when we tell them, well, we have to pick a, you have to pick a SIP service or an XMPP service or install your own server wherever you want it to be. And they go like, what? Can't we just, you know, like create a username and a password like on Skype? And well, no, you know, because you have to run your own server or use another server. It's very complex. It gets
maybe you could describe it. Maybe you could describe it as like, well, when you buy a cell phone, unless you activate it with a carrier, it's not any useful except as a brick.
Yes, it's actually. I mean, well, users they do get what they need to do. The problem is that the process of doing it is very complex. Think about it. Choosing your carrier, your mobile carrier, is a complex process, and you have to take a lot of things into account. And there are only two or three per country, right? And there are hundreds of web providers, mm-hmm. even thousands possibly, all with different pros and cons, and not all of them evaluated. And it's a very complex procedure. And you can only dedicate your time to so many things in a day. So we've found out that this is probably one of the most significant blockers to adopting adopting Jitsi at the levels of Skype, for example, and we were already thinking about potentially hosting some sort of a default service that you can use in case you don't really have a real good idea about what you want to do. But then in the meantime, something else happened. So we actually now do a service in order to present our most recent project, which is the Jitsi Video Bridge you mentioned, and Jitsi Meet.
So before we get off Jitsi, I have one complaint. I downloaded the current version of Jitsi, and I still am unable to use it with GTalk. And the reason is that I have 23,000 Google Plus followers, and it tries to download all that. I've let it run for like 20 minutes, and it still won't work. is there possibly some option you can add to Jitsi so that it won't try to download all my friends?
That's actually a very interesting question. I don't think we've had many other users with 23,000 followers. The problem is that the way you connect to GTalk service is an XMPP service, and with XMPP, that's how it works. You start by downloading your contact list, and we have to look at that. It could be that it's actually the XMPP gateway at Google that's having a problem shipping, you know, sending all the 23,000 contacts, or it could be Jitsi. We have to.
Well, I'll tell you. Here's the challenge. Adium can do it just fine. It can immediately connect, and I have no problem.
Oh,
so
darn. You had to say that.
Because I'd really like to use Jitsi for everything, but I'm now stuck on using Adium for everything because I don't want to be running two or three different clients. So,
actually, the fact that Adium is doing it is very encouraging. This means that there's something in our case that's just freaking out.
I think last time I looked at it, I was actually watching the files. You're downloading the thumbnail images for everybody.
Yep, we are. Yes.
And Adium doesn't do that. Adium doesn't have the pictures of that unless you're actually talking to somebody.
Oh, okay.
So maybe that's something you can fix. That would be cool. Yeah. That would be so nice to be able to do that. All right. Enough about me. Enough about Jitsi. Let's move on to what the new products are.
Yeah. Well, actually, The cool thing is that they're not really that new because they all came out of Jitsi. As we kept making progress with Jitsi, it started making sense to try and isolate the core of Jitsi, which is libjitsi, mm-hmm. and make it available to other projects. We did that, and then as we kept evolving Jitsi, all the new features was also available in that library. And among those new features, we had video conferencing hosted by Jitsi itself. Now, we've had audio conferencing for a while, and that's pretty. That's actually relatively easy to do for a client, because when you're doing audio conferencing, it's like you're calling 10 different people and then you're mixing their audio and sending it to everyone else. Easy, a client can do it, not a problem. But then we thought, hey, since Jitsi can do audio calls with many people, how about we added video on top of that? So we made sure that Jitsi could route video to all the people, because mixing video doesn't make sense. It's a very heavy process, adds latency, degrades quality, not really a good thing. So we thought we'd route video. We added the video routing capabilities in Jitsi, and we made it a video mixer of sorts. That was pretty neat. We had that for a while. And then still, it wasn't really a very popular feature, because when you're hosting a video conference on your computer, even if you're not actually mixing video, you still have to decrypt a lot of stuff. You have to use a lot of bandwidth. And that's actually the main concern, because when you're at home, you can't really send video to five or six people. Many people don't have that amount of upstream bandwidth, right? Because downstream is okay. You can launch several YouTube videos at the same time, but upstream is very limited. So we thought, why don't we take that, now that we have libjitsi, put it on a server, add a very thin layer on top of that, and make it available as, video routing in the cloud, or if you want to make it sound fancy, but basically just run Jitsi on a server. And that's how Jitsi Video Bridge was born. It's a video router that lets many people connect, and then it just forwards video to everyone else. The interesting thing is that it's actually all the modern video conferencing servers work that way. Google Hangouts work with individual streams. Skype uses individual streams, and that's a popular approach. Once we did that, things were going well for a while, and then something else happened. Something very interesting. WebRTC came out. I suppose that viewers on your show are all familiar with what WebRTC is, or should I just do a quick reminder?
We have varying levels of tech audience here, so I'm sure some people, this will be review, but go ahead and explain a little bit about what that is and how it benefits you.
Sure. So WebRTC is basically just making your web browser, turning it into a media stack, allowing web pages, giving web pages the opportunity to say, hey, I want to take video from your webcam, I want to take audio from your microphone, and I want to send them that way. That's pretty much the reverse of streaming video. Basically, you can just do the same in the opposite direction. Now, this is really a very important new technology. Many people have been predicting that, because it makes it very, 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 very easy to develop your own real-time communications application. Developing an audio-video chat is literally a matter of less than an hour. You can just you don't even need that much of infrastructure for a very basic thing. You just code a web page, and there you go. You have your video phone. And only a decade ago, that was actually a matter of months, years to needing to do the same thing. So it's really a revolutionary new technology. It started seeing a lot of adoption. It's currently supported by Chrome. Firefox is catching up. They also have support for the basic for most of the basic features. And people expect that the other browsers like Internet Explorer and Safari would be joining either by the end of this year or early next year. Obviously, this is all speculation, because the companies haven't actually made any announcements. Now, many people, when seeing WebRTC, were thinking, oh, this is actually going to be so important, there wouldn't be need for any rich clients anymore, which we obviously don't agree with, because Jitsi, which is one such rich client, has many things to offer that WebRTC cannot. For example, the fact that you can modify the media stack freely, much more easily than you can modify something into a browser and then recompile an entire browser. You have other sorts of security, for example, the security that you can get with ZRDP is currently better than what you get with with WebRTC, because with gRDP, you don't need to trust anyone in the middle, whereas with WebRTC, currently, you need to trust the infrastructure. You need to trust that whoever's providing the service to you is not listening to you, because they have that option right now. Other than that, there are also a lot of positive things about WebRTC. And again, the speed of development there is really significant. So what we thought is, but wait, we can actually do something pretty cool with WebRTC. We already have the server component, which is each video bridge. Why don't we use it to make video conferences with WebRTC? Many of you have probably seen that there are already some examples of video conferences out there with WebRTC. Unfortunately, many of them try to get away with video conferencing in the simplest possible way, which is often referred to as full mesh networks. And that basically comes down to, given that WebRTC has all these peer-to-peer features where one browser can stream directly to another browser, why don't I just add the third person that I want on my call directly? And then both of us that are on this call, we're going to start streaming video to them. So you have a three-way connection between all the participants. And then, however, if you want to add a fourth participant, each of you is streaming out three streams. Then if you want to add a fifth participant, each of you is streaming four streams out. And this becomes very easily a big problem, because once again, upstream bandwidth is always relatively limited. And given the way things with WebRTC today, in these calls, video has to be encoded multiple times. So, I'm sorry.
Yep. Can I interrupt for a second? Isn't that the way Skype video bridging originally did it, and then they shifted more to a central model, or was it always a central model?
I think for video, they always did. Actually, even for audio, they always did a central model. But for audio, I believe they were mixing. One of the Skype participants was mixing, which is pretty much the way that Jitsi does it. And I think for video, they've always had a central server. But obviously, they haven't published their protocol, so I'm not really certain about that, but I believe that's how they do it.
Okay.
So full mesh networks are quite popular within WebRTC applications, but these are not scalable video chats. You can probably get away with up to 3-4 participants, but the way more than that becomes a real problem. Here's where Jitsi Video Bridge is different, because you just put it in the middle, it takes one stream from everyone, and then it relays it to everyone else. And it can do a bunch of cool things, like it can try to relay only the last 4 or 5 active speakers. So even when you get 100 speakers on a call, you can still get it to work. The bridge doesn't currently do that, but we're working on it. So it should be there soon. And it's a very lightweight, compared to a video mixer that mixes everything, it's much, much, much more lightweight, because it doesn't do any decoding, it doesn't do any encoding, it doesn't do any composite images. It's just decrypting and re-encrypting video. Security-wise, it's also very interesting, because given that Jitsi Video Bridge is an open source project, you can run it on your own premises, on your own servers, and the fact that you have to trust the infrastructure because of the WebRTC security model isn't that much of a problem in this case, because you can control the infrastructure if that's important to you. And it's literally not that, literally very easy to deploy Jitsi Video Bridge. You need a virtual machine somewhere in some data center, and that's it. You can get away with a single core, 1 or 2 gigabytes of RAM, and you can use that for your small company video service or something like that. So this is where we currently are. We added WebRTC compatibility to the Video Bridge at the end of last year. That basically consisted adding support for DTLS SRDP, making sure that ICE worked properly there for non-traversal reasons, and that was it. Then a friend of ours, Philip Hanke, currently working at NJET, started the Jitsi Meet web application, then made it a contribution to the Jitsi community, and that's where the project is evolving right now. So the interesting thing is that, and I like that, as an acknowledgement to the importance of WebRTC. The interesting thing is that the progress that we've started making on the video bridge itself, I'm not even talking about the web application, but on the video bridge itself, has probably tripled or quadrupled in speed since we've started working with WebRTC, because every time we needed a new feature, the client side was very quickly covered. You just need to add some more lines of JavaScript code, and then it was done. If you wanted to do the same thing with a rich client and evolve both the rich client and a server simultaneously, then that becomes much more complicated, because the user interface libraries that we're using currently pretty picky and delicate to work with. So we're actually thinking of embedding Chromium and Jitsi in the future and redoing the entire user interface in HTML and JavaScript so that we can benefit from the same speed of development, but we're not there just yet. But yes, that's actually the most exciting thing about this is really about how quickly we've been able to evolve since we added the WebRTC support to video bridge and the WebRTC client.
Okay, now I'm just a little confused, and Matt might be confused as a proxy for some of our audience here. So Jitsi Video Bridge versus Jitsi Meet, how do they, is Jitsi Meet using Jitsi Video Bridge?
Yes.
Does Jitsi Video Bridge have any sort of UI, or is it just a server running where I've got to make clients connect to it?
Very, very good question. But I think it's important, because the fact that these two components are different, while they make the whole thing sound a little bit more complicated, that is actually what gives you a lot of liberty to use these components separately. So Jitsi Video Bridge is just a server that doesn't do anything else other than RTP. It just takes audio and video and relays it to a number of participants that are connected to it. Jitsi Meet is the web application, the JavaScript application that you load in your browsers, and then that application contacts the Jitsi Video Bridge in order to set up a conference, in order to get everyone else invited in that conference, and etc. So Jitsi Meet is not the only way you can use Jitsi Video Bridge. You can embed it in existing applications, whether web or regular applications. So think of Jitsi Meet as the JavaScript front end to the Jitsi Video Bridge.
Okay, and so for me to actually use this, if I wanted to deploy it for, say, like my current client here, ZipRecruiter, they would need to install an instance of Jitsi Video Bridge running as a full-time service, probably on one of the internal networks, and then they would need to install the Jitsi Meet wrapper around it on the same machine then?
Yeah, it can be on the same machine. Actually, if they really just need a simple... If they really just need a simple installation, they can run absolutely everything on the same machine. There are several components involved. You have Nginx, which is what we generally recommend for a web server. That Nginx is going to serve the web page of Jitsi Meet and the actual Jitsi Meet JavaScript application. Then we also use the Prosody XMPP server. And again, if you're not interested in scaling that application and trying to distribute it over different machines, you probably don't need to know that much details. But we are using Prosody XMPP for all the browsers to communicate, to do chat in a conference room. And then Jitsi Video Bridge can run on the same machine and take all the and relay all the media. So there are these several components that you need to install in order to use Jitsi Meet. And we have complete instructions for that on jitsi.org/meet. You can get the full installation instructions there. We're currently working on Debian packages. These are almost done, so that you can basically just apt-get install the whole thing. We're also thinking about creating OpenStack virtual machines, maybe AWS virtual machines, potentially a Docker installer, but there are only so many hours in a day. And if someone wants to help in that, this is actually a great way to get involved, because it doesn't require you to know all the code in the project right from the start. You can start by helping with packaging, and this is actually something that can be very, very helpful.
So taking a small step back, you mentioned Chromium and Chrome a lot, right? Does this, Jitsi Meet and Jitsi Video Conference, Video Bridge rather, also work with anything like Firefox or any other browser?
Yeah, the reason I actually mentioned Chromium was a little bit different is because we were also thinking of adopting HTML in the Jitsi Rich client, which is a separate thing. But this is indeed a very good question. Currently, if you want to use Jitsi Meet, you have to, NGT Video Bridge, actually, you have to use Chrome, Chromium, or Opera, because their WebRTC implementation is a little bit more advanced than the one in Firefox. And the important thing is, actually, the important feature that we need for GT Video Bridge to work is the possibility to get multiple video streams within a single connection. The reason we require that is because the GT Video Bridge, when in the conference, you know, it just thinks that way. I'm going to connect to 20 different participants here, and whatever I get on any single of those channels on those connections, I'm going to relay to everyone else. Now, obviously, that means that any of those participants are going to get a lot of stuff on this connection. They need to be able to demultiplex, and they need to be able to recognize, oh, this is Rando's video, and oh, this is Guillermo's video, etc. Currently, Chrome can do that. Firefox cannot. As far as I know, Firefox are planning to implement support for that at some point, but I have no idea about what the time frame would be. So an alternative way of implementing that, of implementing support for Firefox, because we keep getting questions about Firefox support, and one way of implementing it would be to just allow the bridge to support certain participants that need one connection per video stream they get. Am I making sense, or is that becoming too technical? So I hope it's all.
No, it is. It is. Okay. Keep going. Yeah.
Okay. So once you do that, Firefox can establish multiple peer, what they call peer connections in WebRTC speak, but basically multiple connections, one per every other participant, and retrieve its video that way. But that would imply a lot of added complexity on the video bridge, because basically it needs to know that whatever it gets on one of, I know I have 10 connections to Guillermo here, and whatever I'm getting on one of them needs to be forwarded to everyone else on the conference, but not to all the other connections that go to Guillermo. And then what happens when new people come in? And then what happens if you want to selectively forward some people? Which channel do you send them over for Guillermo? So it's there's a lot of intricacy involved and a lot of complexity involved in supporting that model. And so basically we don't have an exact ETA about support of Firefox in Video Bridge as well. But it is something that we're thinking a lot about, so I expect we'll be able to implement it at some point in the near future, actually, possibly before even the end of the summer.
Oh, nice. So let's talk about something more practical. I want to create a let's say Minecraft, let's play thing with a lot of people. Is there a way for me to stream my game or my desktop onto, let's say, using your platform here, like Jitsi Meet?
Okay, the reason I'm stuttering right now is because I'm not really a Minecraft player, but I'm not sure if that was important in the question. It's
It can be any game or anything, actually.
Okay, so it's just about streaming your desktop, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, indeed. You can do that, and that's actually an interesting feature, because desktop streaming has been a feature in real-time communication applications for forever, right? I mean, actually, I think Skype removed it at some point. They don't have it right now, do they? But they used to have it, and maybe they still do. Jitsi has always had it. A number of other real-time communications applications have it. And then you would think that, well, if WebRTC wants to be a real contender in the real-time communication space, it has to do desktop streaming. And it does, kind of. And the reason I'm saying kind of is because there's a real security concern here. Now, when you're installing a rich client on your computer, you're actually going through an installation process. On most operating systems, you would need to have administrative or root privileges in order to install that package. So you can assume that there is a certain level of control as to what gets installed in your computer. Well, not if you're my father, but other than that, most people pay attention to what they put on their computers. And that means that you can be fairly comfortable with giving a specific application access to streaming your desktop. You're basically in a call with Rando and myself, and you want to show us your desktop. You click on the button in that application, and there you go. You stream it. When you're in WebRTC, this becomes a lot more complicated because it's not about giving a specific application just one single developer access to your desktop. It's about giving it to the entire world, basically. Because if you allow your browser to stream your desktop, which you actually do when you install it, but if your browser allows streaming your desktop to any page that gets loaded in your computer, then imagine what that could mean. I mean, you know, we all know how compromised servers, web servers can go unnoticed for months or even years. So imagine some malicious code that finds itself on a popular web page, and every person that downloads that web page is under the risk of finding out that their desktop was streamed to some third party. This could imply banking coordinates, personal information. In countries with problematic politics, it could also be threatening their life. So this is you can't just do that in a browser. In the beginning, when things started, and while Google was working on that in Chrome as an experimental feature, they made it hidden behind a flag that had to be explicitly enabled by a user. It couldn't be just enabled by a web page. So it was basically meant for developers to start experimenting with WebRTC desktop sharing. But that's not generally encouraged for production services. So what is currently possible is basically Chrome allows applications to access the desktop only if those applications come from the Chrome App Store, which basically means that they have control over some level of control, at least over these applications. They can basically eject them from the store. And it's not so easy to... I mean, installing an application in the Chrome App Store actually requires a lot of human intervention. It even costs you some money. So there are a lot of hurdles to a potential attacker to deploy a big scale attack based on web desktop streaming. So currently, that's how desktop streaming works. You go to a web page, you click on a button. If the application is properly implemented, it's going to pop up a window and say, streaming your desktop requires that you install this Chrome extension, which is basically just a matter of clicking one extra button. Chrome downloads it from the Chrome App Store, makes it available to the web page, and then there you go. You go and stream your desktop. So that's how this problem has currently been solved, at least by Chrome. It works in Chromium as well. I don't think it works in Opera yet. I don't know how Firefox are planning on resolving that. For example, I don't believe they have an app store. I mean, they do have this the extensions, but I don't know if they can apply the same level of control as Google. I have no idea what they're planning to do in that aspect.
Well, let's say maybe you already mentioned this before, but I'm interested in maybe recording one of these Jitsi meets. Is there a way to record that? Let's say if in the future Floss Weekly wants to switch to your service.
Sorry, can you repeat the last question? It cut for
a
little
bit. Yeah, let's say Floss Weekly later on wants to use your service, right, instead of Skype right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to
we
do
have that on
this,
the record now.
Yeah. And we want to use this.
I said last time, too.
Yeah, well. You did. No? Okay, so did you catch the question?
Yeah. Basically, is there a possibility for recording video calls?
Yeah, that's it.
That's actually exactly the right time to ask this question, because while there's currently no such possibility, we're not going to be able to go and implement it because we've received Jitsi has received a grant from an open source grant from Comcast to work on exactly that application. So this is we've just started working on that, and we hope it would be some version of it would be available within the next 6 weeks, for example. And then yes, you would be able to record to record conferences. And that's actually a very interesting project because recording a conference would have to have two phases. You would have to first actually write the video streams as they go through the server. You need to dump them on your drive. Currently, all VP8 video happens through VP8. That might not be the case in the future, but that's how it works right now. So we need to record VP8 onto your system, and then that would basically give you a bunch of WebM files, and then you need to take these WebM files and create a single video out of them. So there would be some amount of post-processing. Once we have all of this, it will become possible for people to install VideoBridge and record their sessions and online tutorials or meetings or whatever. So very, very soon, this is going to be there.
So what other features are you guys planning on adding to Jitsi soon?
So I can tell you what we'd like to add. What we end up adding is a little bit the different notion. so the video recording is pretty much certain because of the Comcast grant, because we now have the resources to do it. So it's almost certain. Other things that we'd like to add is the possibility to call to make SIP calls out of here, out of Jitsi Meet, so that if I am in the process of if I am on a conference and I'd like to add someone who is not in front of a computer, I would like to be able to call that person in a SIP call. And that SIP call can obviously go over the PSTN after that. So that's that would require a SIP gateway, which we would really like to do. We have a lot of work planned for optimizing scalability and doing things like simulcasting, being able to forward, you know, the a high quality image only for the people that are actually talking, and then if you need to see other thumbnails, well, we don't actually need to receive an entire 720p image, only to scale that down to a thumbnail. So what we like to do is to make everyone stream two versions of their video, one high quality and one low quality, and then only forward the low quality version for people that are there but are not currently speaking. That's known as simulcast. This is a similar technique to that is used by many. It's comparable to scalable video coding, which is used to by Google Hangouts. So we hope we'd be able to do a lot of work in that regard. We are thinking of improving the entire infrastructure, because currently the all the application logic lives in the client, in the JavaScript on the client side. So that's probably not the most stable way to do things. Firefox support is also something that we'd like to work on. And I'm just trying to think of stuff. There are actually many, many things. I just can't think of everything we'd like to do right now.
You know, I'm actually happy to see how this project has grown. I got to play with it maybe in the early 2000s, maybe 2004 or 5.
Yeah,
right. It was still SIP communicator back then.
Yeah.
And, you know, all that SIP and asterisk stuff and everything else was, you know, really hot during that time, right?
Right.
And, I played with it. I like it a lot. Is the development focusing on the new video bridge only, or is the app also, you know, the actual client local desktop app also getting a lot of development work?
It's actually half and half, I would say. A lot of work is going to Jitsi Video Bridge, but still many things are being added to Jitsi. Actually, that's not entirely correct. Many things are being fixed in Jitsi. So we're currently in that in the phase of stabilizing Jitsi. We've added a number of improvements lately in terms of removing bugs, making some processes more reliable. So there's a lot of work in Jitsi, but not all of it is new features. Actually, not even the majority of it is new features. And that's actually very encouraged by our community, because people have been saying for a while that they're very happy with the feature set in Jitsi, but we need to take care of a few glitches here and there. And actually, that's the highest That's probably the biggest problem of building a rich client. As a friend once said, you're basically, you have to deal with the entire internet, because anyone can install that application on any kind of system, and you have to deal with a vast variety of audio devices and video devices and formats and operating systems and all sorts of flavors of Linux and Windows and even OS X today. Most of the time right now, we're making sure that we're ironing out those details. Now, this is actually one of the hurdles that WebRTC removes from application developers. So because if you're just developing a WebRTC real-time communications application, well, the browser implementer is taking care of that complexity for you. You don't need to deal with it. You don't need to take care about what webcams are supporting here and there. So it's actually it actually makes a lot of sense. Actually, WebRTC is you can see that as division of labor. Let developers take care of individual use cases and try to concentrate the actual common complexity into the platform that everyone uses, the browser.
So let's say you mentioned Comcast was giving you support, right? I'm guessing that's not only it's more monetary than actual development support. Yeah. How would that change the priorities for your project?
It basically allows us to start working on video recording right now. Most of the people that contribute regularly to Jitsi are actually full-time Jitsi developers. So many of us work for this small company which we founded called BlueJimp, and we basically support ourselves by selling development. So. And we end up doing two kinds of development. There are a list of things that we'd like to do, and there's a list of things that we're paid to do. And whenever we get asked by a customer to implement something, well, we go and do that, as long as it actually makes sense, right? All of that ends up being open source, which is why Jitsi ended up with such a large amount of features. But there is actually... a priority given to features that are being covered by customers, because everyone needs to eat and dress and pay rent.
Yeah, of course, that's a big requirement, right, for life. And we also have another question from our chat. Do you know at what amount the WebRTC support is, or does it support mobile rather, in any way?
That's actually a great question. Currently, you can use WebRTC with the full feature set on Android with Chrome for Android. So you can actually join Jitsi Meet conferences from Android. And I think this is one of the most complex use cases that you would get with WebRTC, because there are not many other applications out there that would use that would stress the browser aging and try to use the same connection for multiple video streams. But even that would work on an Android. It used to be available with Chrome Beta only, but now it's available in the regular stable Chrome. Now, unfortunately, that's not the case for iOS, not even if you're using Chrome, because as far as I understand, the policies in the Apple Store prevent developers from rendering video in non-native components. I might not be resuming this. I might not be summarizing this in the best possible way, but basically, as far as I understand, Chrome wouldn't be allowed to actually provide its own WebRTC support. However, everyone believes that Apple are currently, and I think it's more than belief, I think they've actually stated something like that. They're currently working on WebRTC, integrating that in Safari. Everyone assumes that this also applies to Safari for iOS. Hopefully, WebRTC support would be available there as well. Now, there's an interesting fact here. And that's the fact that WebRTC in Chrome is based on an open source implementation. It's available on WebRTC.org, which has allowed WebRTC to make a lot of progress very quickly. Now, if you look at Firefox, for example, they use a big chunk of that implementation for their own stuff. They're mostly using the media parts, but they have their own, I believe, their own RTP stack and their own peer connection implementation, their own ICE implementation. But the media stuff comes from the original implementation, which came from Google. It turns out now that Apple were using the same implementation to add support to Safari. So it's very interesting to see how open source today is helping big corporations, while a few years ago it was still a thing primarily for small outfits and geeks. So and today you have major corporations like Apple speeding up their development process through the use of open source. So, and obviously that's not only about WebRTC. This has been the case with WebKit for a while. And it's what allowed actually Google to start Chrome so easily. But yeah, that's something that I find a very interesting fact. As for Windows mobiles, I have really no idea what the situation would be there. Everyone expects Microsoft to come up with an implementation and not sooner rather than later. I would assume this is purely speculation, but probably early 2015, if we're lucky, maybe even end of 2014, who knows. They actually just came out with a plugin for Internet Explorer that offers something like that. There's this new API called ORTC, which is developed in a community group on the W3C, and Microsoft provided an implementation for that. That basically gives you the same feature set as WebRTC, and some believe that it may many of those features may find themselves in a newer version of WebRTC. So I personally view that, but this is just my personal opinion. I personally view that as a great API, and I think it would be great if it found its way into the WebRTC specification. But yes, so once Microsoft have that implementation for Internet Explorer on desktop, I assume it would also go on mobile. That was a long answer to the mobile question. Hope it didn't.
It was good, though. It was very appropriate. You covered all the bases, which is really important to us. There's been a couple of interesting questions in the chat room about hosting this versus using a shared service. I know, obviously, you said, well, I can just download this and install it at my client's location using the stuff you at jitsi.org/meet. But there's already a few existing implementations. Like, you have your demo one at meet.jit.c. Yep. And there's something at the IETF.org. What's the difference between those? Why would I use one or the other? And are there other ones that are going to be open and public like that?
So currently, both the Meet Jitsi deployment and the IETF deployment are just open. The reason you would have your own is because, well, you'd like it to be in a location where it would be geographically close to your users, maybe, or you'd like to control the resources that people would be that it would actually need. So we try to maintain the Meet Jitsi deployment for as long as we can. But if we actively encourage people to run their own, so that they don't. We don't have infinite amount of resources. So if you can deploy your own server and use it there, then please do that. So the IETF actually provided a deployment of Jitsi Meet that can be used for remote meetings for people in working groups to discuss things outside of IETF physical meetings, and that's actually something we're very, very excited about, because for those who don't know, the IETF is the organization that standardizes internet protocols. We are members of Jitsi.org contributing to the IETF, and we think this is a great place. Some of the I've met some of the smartest people I know there. It's really a very challenging environment. You learn every day new things, and you participate in defining new technologies that everyone is going to use tomorrow. So we're very excited that we could help the IETF in that way and provide a platform where IETF ITFers can easily meet and discuss projects. And there are other there are a bunch of other implementations that are more or less public, but it's right. So they are all basically meant for the same thing: people to within a company, within a university, within an institution to just meet and discuss things.
So, in terms of scaling, does this thing, would you do it by syndication? Does it even support syndication, or do you need to put it behind a load balancer and then figure out, make the URLs all mapped to the same machine?
Actually, right now you can do neither of those. It would have to be. actually, when I was talking about the features, this is one of the things that we would like to work a little bit more on. Right now. But it all comes down to how exactly you use Jitsi Video Bridge. If you're building a video system and then you want to use Video Bridge as your video backend, then you can do that. But it's up to you to provide the scaling, because this is just a component in your system. It's not the it does not represent the entire system. So if you want to provide a cloud of bridges and then selectively choose one of those bridges for a conference where most of the participants happen to be in the US. Or in Europe, then go ahead and do that. Jitsi Meet, which is the application, the default application that we offer as a front end to Jitsi Video Bridge, does not currently do that kind of load balancing. And that's something that we'd like to do. And it would basically mean implementing exactly that, trying to detect where a request is coming from and directing that participant to a bridge that is closest to them, trying to query the resources that are currently being occupied by a bridge. So you can see that there are 200 participants on that server, so it probably couldn't take much more. Let's open a second server for the next conference. These are things that are not going to be hard to make. Better yet, you can do with the bridge, and that's something it supports already, you can do cascading. You can cascade multiple bridges. So you can have one in New York, one in Tokyo, and with a good connection between them, with a guaranteed bandwidth between them, and then automatically dispatching users over both. What the video bridge supports is the possibility to get multiple video streams from every endpoint. Normally, when I'm connecting, I will be sending a single video stream, right? But if it just happens that I'm not a regular browser, but I'm another bridge myself and I'm forwarding 10 video streams, the bridge wouldn't have a problem with that. It would just treat them as if it would know how to treat them. So this is a very important architectural advantage that we think would help scalability a lot more. But the most important thing here is that if you're just deploying that for a small company of up to 200, 300, 400, 500 people, and I don't expect more than... more than 100 people to be having conferences at the same time, you can probably do it with a single server. And then you would only need failover and detective when that server goes down in order to potentially bring up another one. But that's easily achievable even today.
Awesome. Well, you know, we're just about out of time. In fact, we're probably a little bit over time already. I just wanted to say there's so much more we could have been chatting about. You're obviously very deeply knowledgeable about this material, and you're very passionate about it. And I really love it when that's the leader of a project that can actually keep carrying this forward. Just one final yes or no question. Is it ready for prime time? I mean, can I go to meet.jitsi and play with it and keep going? Yep, that's a yes.
Yes. Okay. Yes, go ahead, use it, play with it, and make sure you try and install it just to have fun.
Yeah, and I think we'll actually try to do that here at ZipRecruiter, see if we can get one of these bridges going. That'd be really nice, because they're always using like these phone call things. It's like, hey, let's we'll do it with video. That's much easier. It's like I said, we're out of time, and the final follow-up I wanted to say with that is, and it's only going to get better as time goes on. It sounds like you've got a lot more features that you actually want to put into it. Are you looking for people in any particular category that you're finding difficult to find?
We always welcome new developers. There's a lot of JavaScript work to do right now, so if you want to do that, you're welcome. Currently, we could really use help from people with knowledge about building packaging virtual machines, Docker components, If you have knowledge about that and you have some time to dedicate to the project, then you're most welcome.
Very cool. Very cool. Like I said, we could have kept talking to you for a lot. We'll have to have you back on another 3 years or so to talk about the new hyper reality version of Jitsi, right? The one that you put your headset on and it's 3D people and all that sort of stuff. I'm sure that's where it's going to go. You know it's going to go there. You know it's going to go there.
Don't spoil the surprise, Randall.
Sorry, I didn't know I was supposed to.
That's one of the extra features he wants.
Yes, that's right.
Oculus Rift support.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, Emil, for being on the show.
Thank you, Rando. It's always a pleasure to be here. Thanks again. And you're doing a great job. I love Floss Weekly, so keep doing that. Thank you very much.
Well, we'll have to bring back maybe do some private consulting with you to try to get that to work for for Floss Weekly. That would be really cool if we can get this all to work the right way.
Sure. That would be great.
Awesome. Thank you. Well, that was Emil Ivov. I didn't ask him his last name pronunciation, but hopefully that's close.
It was great. Yeah, that's it.
Oh, there we go. Well, awesome. Speaking to us from somewhere in Europe that I've already forgotten.
Strasbourg.
Here we go. You're supposed to be gone by now. I'm supposed to be answering more questions. Go away.
I mean,
Guillermo, what did you think?
I actually like this project a lot. I'm passionate about IAM, and I've been looking for something to maybe augment my Bitly usage, which is one of the IRC to IAM bridges. But yeah, this is a lot easier to use. It's nice, clean, and it has this new WebMeet feature that I like. I may be using this later on.
Yeah, well, I'm liking it too. And like I said, you know, I'll start suggesting using this instead of anybody that comes up and says, let's use Google Hangouts. I'll go, no, let's use this. It could be much simpler. Well, occasionally, yeah. though, and I didn't ask about this, but he's gone already. You're gone. You're not here. Yeah. I didn't ask. Is that, you know, one of the things Google Hangouts has that I don't think is integrated in this yet is access to documents and stuff. So all of the other Google files and stuff. But maybe something like that will happen eventually on this as well. But anyway, yeah, no, this looks great. And I hope we can actually start using this for Floss Weekly. We were so close to getting to work. For those that aren't watching the live stream, we were actually trying to talk directly to Emo with using Jitsi Meet. There was something. There's a weird setup at the brick house that they have an odd video card and wasn't seeing a video card. So, but yes, that question came up like about 12 times in the chat. Why are you using this? I went, I'm trying. We really want it to happen, so that'll be great. Speaking of upcoming shows, one other thing I wanted to say is I also really liked his comments about that open source really is sort of mainstream now. It's big companies opening sourcing everything, little companies, and we've seen that even in the course of this show over the last 7 years. The show's been in existence is that there's been this tremendous shift towards even companies that would have kept everything proprietary to keep their large corporate advantage are now open sourcing everything, and we get the benefit of the potluck features. You know, everybody brings a dish and everybody takes away a variety of food, and it's been working really well. Is there anything to add to that?
Well, not really. I think this project has a clear future in front of it, especially with everything happening. And if they actually get that iOS application running, mm-hmm. I may be switching to it for everything. And you know, that question I made about the, recording or maybe screencasting a video game. I know there's a lot of people in this area that will use that for this, especially if they want to, you know, make something for YouTube or something. So if they get that working correctly with maybe, you know, accelerated graphics and everything on the back end, mm-hmm. it'll be a, you know, gold mine. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Gold Minecraft.
Gold Minecraft. Yeah, exactly. Oh, diamond.
And bad pun of the day is done. So let's move on to the upcoming guest list. We have coming up next week, Digital Public Library of America, who is going out and crawling all sorts of media-rich sites and doing a meta index of everything, not actually hosting it themselves, but having it be indexable. And I've probably been, hopefully I've gotten that right every time I've talked about it. I don't know. I don't remember something I saw 6 weeks ago when I first saw it. We have added three new guests since my last show. We've added X2Go, which is essentially a VNC-like client for bandwidth challenge connections. So one of the things about VNC is it sends a lot of packets, and if you don't have a really fast connection, it looks pretty bad. But X2Go is now implemented on most major platforms, and we'll be talking to the developers of that. Also just added to the schedule, the Bro Network Security Monitor. It's an IDS kind of system that watches your network and looks for spooky things happening and has real-time reporting of all that. Nice open source. It's got a lot of people contributing to it, and it looks like a really interesting platform. We just also added Buddy Cloud, which is a chat, file sharing, and social activity infrastructure. So don't know much more about than that. That's what I got off the front page, but we'll be talking to them coming up real soon. And then we also still have on the schedule Tonika, which is a platform for social networks. Which that'll be interesting. Maybe we get to contrast and compare the two of those. That'll be interesting. Anyway, my Q2 is almost full. I'll be opening up the Q3 soon so that we'll start having more question marks show up on that schedule that you can see when you go to twit.tv/floss and go to the big spreadsheet link from there that says look at us for upcoming shows. If you have a project that is not on that list, please just have the project leader email me, Merlin@stonehenge.com, and I will put them on as quick as possible. All these projects that you have here, almost all of them that I just read off, where somebody like you listening to the show emailing the project leader and saying, I really like Floss Weekly and you need to be on there. And they then contact me and we set up a date and all that sort of stuff. So it works out pretty well. You can follow us on Floss Weekly on Google Plus. I post there at least one or two messages a week about upcoming shows and a reminder for today's show. That, again, gets forwarded to Twitter as Floss Weekly, if you want to read it that way instead. We do have a live chat. If you go to the spreadsheet, you can find out when our shows are being taped, typically 8:30 a.m. Pacific time on Wednesdays. And we took a lot of questions from the chat today. It was really very lively about this show, so it was really fun. You can follow me at Merlin, M-E-R-L-Y-N, on Twitter. But mostly that's just retweets of stuff I post to Google+. So Google+ is my main hangout now. That's Randall L. Schwartz. For those of you that are my Portland friends, I'll be back in Portland starting tomorrow night for a week. I will remember my fez this time, so it won't be like me taping a show without my fez, which I felt sort of naked doing. And that's probably all I want to plug right now. Guillermo, what do you want to plug?
Well, if anybody's interested in the stuff I do in this lab here, it's you can look for me on Twitter, which is Gamerol, or on YouTube again. And I will be making a shameless plug here, but I will be making a Let's Play, including Minecraft. So now you see the connection there. I was sliding it, under the door. But, there you go.
Well, that's okay. I mean, we volunteer for this show primarily. And so, these little plugs at the end, it's really the only way that I can justify the time otherwise. So, yeah. But that is all, and we're almost out of time. We're over time. We've got to get going. We'll see you all again next week on Floss Weekly.